Father God, I thank you, Lord, again, just for the opportunity for us just to be able to come into your presence, Lord. I pray that, Father, that today, that Lord, in every area, that God, we can just sense and feel your presence. Lord, I thank you that even when things go haywire, it's okay. It's all right. We're all friends, we're family, and we're all together. I thank you, Lord, for just you, for the whole true reason for this season. I pray that it'll always be about you and nothing more. And today we just give you this service in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it is good to see you guys, and Merry Christmas again. How many of you guys are having trouble knowing what to wear right now? I'm not kidding with you. I don't know how to dress anymore in Texas. For Christmas time, I mean, I put on the heavy thing because it said 35. And then he goes outside and it feels like it's 84. And I'm wondering why I'm always sick or why everybody else is sick. It's because we don't know the seasons. It's just crazy going up and down. But my closet, I keep moving all my sweaters and everything over, and then I put all my short sleeves, and then by the end of the week, I'm having to move my short sleeves back over, and I never know how to dress. So I'll probably be burning up in a little bit, but that's okay. Guys, I want to take a break from the Acts series. We've gotten to about, I believe, 10 chapters into the book of Acts, and I wanted to pause a little bit. I wanted to take a break and share a few biblical reminders about truly what Christmas is about. This morning's message is about God's pursuit in us. It's about God's pursuit for each and every single one of us. How many of you guys has ever been pursued? Anyone ever been pursued in here for anything? I know for me, I've been pursued. I was in high school, and I was with my friend Clint, and we went to a concert. Probably not a concert you probably should have gone to, but we did. We went to a Motley Crue concert. It's a Christian band that anyway, we went to a Motley Crue concert, and I know it was bad when there's a few songs I really liked, and I knew it was bad when there were so many fights and it smelled different in there for some. It might have been the nachos burning or something, I don't know, but and pentagrams going all over the place. It was not a good situation. The concert was great. Lots of fights, though. It was a bad situation. I told my friend Clint, I feel like I have been in Hades for the past 3 hours. I said, we need to get out of here. So we left. Okay, we ran because there were still more fights, even when we were going outside. And we get into the car. We start making our way around Reunion Arena. This is how long ago it was, where the concert was. We get to a light, and all of a sudden, I look to the right of me. I see this truck, and it's filled with all these guys in the bed of the truck, inside the truck, and they're all staring, and they're all yelling and cussing, and it was terrible. They're just staring at us. And I'm looking at my friend Clint, and I was like, please hurry up, light. Please hurry up, light. Turn green, turn green, turn green. It does not turn green. For some apparent reason, it's still red. And it stays red. And there's still a bunch of cars in front of us, and they're still staring at us. They're still yelling at us and saying all these things. And finally, I'm trying not to look at them, but it's one of those things. You got to look at them because you don't want to, but you have to. And so I looked at them, and then all of a sudden, I see the guy, he's opening the door, he's about to come out, and he's about to pursue me in a way that I don't want to be pursued. And all of a sudden, a man out of nowhere comes in between our two cars while we're at the light, slams his leg inside the door, punches him in the face, and runs off. If I ever in my life ever believed at that time, and I'm not in a very good place, but in angels, that there was my first experience of my first angelic being. I don't know where he came from. I don't know if he's still alive today. He might have, he was probably an angel, so he's always there, I guess. But I was about to be pursued. Guys, every single person in that truck, except for the dude still laying in the front seat, took off after the guy. I was about to be pursued in a very bad way. But there was also a time I was being pursued by another person in a good way. Jamie, 17 years ago, saw a picture of me, and she kept calling me and calling and bugging me. She would not let go. Finally, I decided I would ask her out on a date. Okay, y'all believe the first story or the second story? Yeah, don't believe the second story. The second story is I pursued her, okay? I was the one that was bugging her probably, you know, and over. But it's nice to be pursued. When my wife actually came to the door and said, "I'll be right back," and changed her shoes because she was a foot taller than me, and put on flats, and then we were able to go out. It was nice to know that she pursued me. It's always great to be pursued, but it's a lot better to be pursued in a good way. And I want to talk to you about a person that truly has pursued us in a way that we can't even understand. If you're a Christian, and if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that the one major distinctive attribute of our Christian faith is this. From the foundation of the earth, God has had a plan to pursue you and I before we were even born. From the foundation of the earth, God has had a plan to pursue you personally. Yes, you personally. I know you think that at times you're too small. There's 5 billion people in this world. How does he have a plan? How was it maybe just those other people that we read about in the Bible that he truly had a plan for? How can it be 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000? How many years it could be that he planned from the foundation of the earth to pursue personally you throughout your life? It's how God pursues us and why he pursues us first that we respond. Notice I say that we respond to pursue him. And the problem is that so many people miss that. The problem is that so many people in this world don't understand what he actually went through. Not only just how, but why he decided to pursue us personally, to have this amazing relationship with the creator of the world. It seems so far-fetched sometimes when you can't see him, and oftentimes when you can't hear him, when you can't hear him audibly, and you may not be able to feel him. When we're around each other, we can see and we can hear and we can touch and we can feel. But to be able to have that type of faith in God, to know that you can hear him and you can see him and you can feel him and you can watch how he's moving and working and how he wants to be involved in your everyday life. Sometimes it's overwhelming to think that. Your faith has to be there. See, having that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot, what? See? Hebrews 11:1. So I want to encourage us today, this Christmas, no matter how you are feeling this Christmas season, we all go through many things. We're missing some of the people that we love. Maybe we're dealing with some hurts. You know, during the Christmas season and Thanksgiving, it's one of the most oftentimes, the most celebrated of all times, but it's also the most lonely time. It's the most hard time. It's the most difficult time. Sometimes it can be the most depressing time of the year. No matter how you're feeling with your walk with Christ, maybe God has been pursuing you, but you've been pursuing other things. Maybe you've been leaving Him on the back burner of your life. Maybe He's allowing you to become prodigal so that way you can understand what it was like to come back to the Father. Maybe He's still waiting with His hands open and saying, "Where have you been? Is it better out there for you without me?" But oftentimes we choose that road that we want to go down. The great I Am is pursuing you in a way that will complete you, that will fill you unconditionally with that love, that will forgive you, that will serve you, that will guide you, that doesn't want to live another day without you. Have you ever been pursued like that? You can say, "Oh, man, my wife or my husband or my friends can pursue me like that." Not even on their best day can they come close. I can't even come close on my best day. On my anniversary, I can't pursue my wife that good. That's how much God loves us. The Hebrew word radaf. I hope that you'll hold on to that word. The Hebrew word radaf. It means to chase after you. Many chased after Jesus for the wrong reasons, just like I was chased for the wrong reason. Many chased Jesus for the wrong reasons. They radafed to destroy the King of Christmas. King Herod was that one, because everybody was looking for that newborn king. And he said, "I am the true king. What do you mean there's another king?" And so Herod, Radaf, he chased after, trying to figure out where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords were supposed to be. And many radafed and chased after Jesus like the wise men that we sung about, to bring gifts to the newborn king. Are you bringing your gifts to the newborn king? Are you radafing? Are you chasing after Him in your life? What does Christmas truly mean to you? What are you sacrificing? What are you giving to the King? See, God has personally come chasing after you. And God will never stop chasing after you, no matter what. That's one of the things that we can take about Christ, we can understand about Christmas, is that no matter what we're chasing, He's always pursuing us. Today, I want you to know that God has been chasing and pursuing you from the very beginning. He went through extreme measures to even prove it to you. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Many of you guys are familiar with the passage of Genesis chapter 3. But you might have missed, as we begin to talk about Adam and Eve, you might have missed the first Christmas story. The very first Christmas story is in Genesis chapter 3 in the Old Testament. It's not Matthew. It's not Luke, where you normally will see the Christmas or the Nativity story. It's important for us to go back to the very beginning. Because remember, I told you, it was at the very foundation of the earth, it was at the very beginning that Jesus began to pursue you. So if we're going to know that if it was at the foundation, then we've got to go back to the beginning, to the Alpha, to the first, to the beginning of where the true Christmas story came from. And what I love about this Bible is that Jesus Christ is literally thread, is intertwined from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Literally, in all 66 books, Jesus is talked about. Jesus is thread. Jesus is intertwined. If it's not His name that is actually being mentioned. It's some other work. It's some other type of name for describing an attribute of Jesus that's being typified that describes who Jesus is. And all 66 books, all 66 books is either mentioning Jesus' name or is typified. It's actually an attribute of who he is through that. This book is all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. It didn't start in Bethlehem. It started in Genesis. Let's read. And now the serpent, who was cunning, then any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor should you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Not that he didn't know. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, Adam said, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you shall not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Then watch the woman's response. The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust, and all the days of your life. And I will put in how many of you guys have trouble with that? Enmity. I have it in two different ways spelt here, and I knew I would still do that. Enmity. Between you and woman, and between your seed and her seed. I want you to see Christmas right here. Verse 15. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is a powerful verse because this sets in motion the gift of Christmas. This is where salvation actually comes from. This is the first mentioning of salvation right here. This is the one true Christmas gift to the world through Jesus. It's through the seed. This is where it all is. This is where it all begins, is right here. So there's two key things I want to share with you this morning, and it comes from Scripture. It comes from the whole idea of my sermon title that God is constantly pursuing us. 1 John 4:19 says this. This is our first point that I want to get across, and it comes from Scripture. We love because He first loved us. He redoffs us. He constantly chases us. He first loves us. He first unconditionally, he first agape loves us unconditionally. The plan of salvation of God is established in Genesis because He first loves us. God knew that Adam and Eve would sin through all his all-knowing power. Have you ever, like, think about the theological basis? Have you ever tried to go back to Genesis and wonder what would have happened if she or he never ate of that fruit, if Satan was never able to get kicked out, if nothing like that ever changed, if there was perfect fellowship in the Garden of Eden, if you have your mind scrolling back and understanding and trying to figure out God's sovereignty, God's plan, it's overwhelming. And the greatest theological people in the world struggle with this, trying to get their minds wrapped around and understanding the true concept of how all of this works. And truly, by faith, we just have to accept it, that we're just not going to know. His ways are better than our ways. He has a plan, though. He knew what life would hold for not just Adam and Eve, this whole idea of separation from him, but literally from the whole entire world's perspective. It all started here. Once sin took place at that time, perfect fellowship was then broken. You want to know why you sin? Comes back to Genesis 3. If these two individuals can have everything in the world that they could ever want and walk with God and still sin, think about us. That perfect fellowship. God has had a plan in place, though, from the beginning. The fancy theological, if you want to win at Scrabble, supralapsarian. There's your Scrabble word. Supralapsarian is the decree of all men will fall. The decree to redeem all sinners by the cross. This is what this is. This whole idea of supralapsarian is the whole idea that God decreed, that God had a plan from the very beginning, that even though people choose, he still knew that people, that Adam and Eve would choose to reject, would choose to go their own way, would choose to sin, and he had to have a plan to redeem that fellowship back. And so this whole theological idea is to bring us back for a God that pursued us from the very beginning for us to come back to him. He decreed this from the very beginning. And the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Even though the serpent would wound the seed, the person coming to the heel, Jesus dying on the cross, this is what this means. Even though Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, he would wound the head. He would wound the seed. It wasn't a devastating wound. See, from the very beginning, Satan has tried, the serpent has tried to destroy Christmas. He tried to use King Herod, and now he's trying to use Adam and Eve, and here at the very beginning, to kill, to destroy Christmas. And then he's trying to do this through every single sin in the world, knowing that the only way that we could get to heaven, the only way that we could have this perfect relationship with Jesus Christ, is that something had to happen. Jesus had to come. And he had to die on the cross for us so that we could have this relationship back like the way it was in the beginning. And so the victory over sin, the true salvation, the redemption, the no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus came during this time when Jesus Christ won victory. See, it wasn't the wound that destroyed everything. It was now Jesus Christ going to the cross for you and for me. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God." See, God already had a plan in place from the very beginning to pursue you and me. Genesis 3:15 points to Jesus. Genesis 3:15 points to Christmas. It is the first Christmas message in the most unlikely place that we would ever look. How many of you guys ever looked when you want to share the Christmas story that you want to look in Genesis? Most of us would never turn there. Most of us would actually turn to the gospel. We would look at Matthew. We would look at Luke and be able to share the Christmas story. But to look back, to be able to see if God really, how God really truly pursues us, we must go where it's actually tucked away, not in the gospels, but in the very beginning. And I love the fact that it's tucked away there. It's not easily noticed. Many of us, when we're trying to read that scripture, might have actually gone really, really fast through 3:15 and skipped over that. But did you know that you were literally skipping over the Christmas story? Did you know that you were actually, we might have actually been skipping over the seed over Jesus Christ, the first mention of Jesus? Did you know that we are actually skipping over what Christmas is all about? Did you know that we're skipping over redemption? Did you know that we were skipping over salvation? So many of us in our life, we skip over things because we're moving too fast. Maybe I'm not getting to the point quick enough, and we're skipping over, trying to, we get tuned out. We start thinking about other things that's going on in our lives, and we just skip over things too fast. We skip over relationships. We skip over parts of the scripture because maybe it doesn't either make sense to us, or maybe we just don't understand it, or maybe it just seems a little bit boring. But let me tell you something. 3:15, there is full of action there. There is full of purpose there. There is a plan there. There's redemption there. There is unconditional love there. There is Christmas. There is your first gift is mentioned right there. And without it, you cannot go to heaven. That 3:15 is everything. That gets us to John 3:16, but you have to have Genesis 3:15 first. It's not easily noticed, but they're in plain sight when we slow down to read about the first relationship with us and our children. And it reminds me of one of my favorite Christmas movies. How many of you guys have ever seen A Christmas Story with Ralphie? See, this is not just the beginning of a Christmas story. Tucked away where only the Father can see it. But it's our story. In plain sight to share with the world. And it's important for us to understand the true gift of Christmas. That God decreed the seed of Jesus would have the ultimate victory over sin in our life. As your pastor, it's not easy to live a very godly life. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of accountability, and it's not easy. But we all have a high accountability, don't we? It doesn't matter who you are. We all have a high accountability to live out that Christmas story. Jesus, to be holy because I am holy is not an easy thing to do. Every day is a battle. In Romans 7:15-20 says, "I do not understand what I do." I want you to think about what Paul must be going through in his day right now. Many of you guys are familiar, and I have wrote this, I think, 7 times because I kept getting messed up. Y'all understand in a second. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but sin living in me, for I know that God itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I kept on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I am not kidding with you when I said it took me 7 times to write that out. I was like, did I already write that? Yeah, I already wrote that, okay? God knows this battle within us. Paul experienced it. And as I was telling you, he's at this point, even in Acts chapter 10, we just got to the road of Damascus. He lived this crazy life. And all of a sudden, God comes down. God is pursuing him. And even at the time when he makes his 180 turn and he begins to want to go back, and now he's pursuing the Lord Almighty. He's writing this, saying, these are the things I don't want to do, but I keep on doing because I'm battling each and every day. And this is the guy that's writing half of the New Testament. We can testify that, oh my goodness, I can understand. If Paul is having trouble, how much more do I need this gift? How much more do I need this Christmas gift, this Christmas story in my own personal life? And I think that's what happens in our own life, is that we forget about this amazing grace and about this amazing gift, and we lose sight of his pursuit. We don't pursue him like we should. See, when he's walking in the cool of the day or in the night of our life, and we're sitting there in our office or at home, or we're dealing with struggles in our life, or things are happening in our marriage, or things are going on with our kids, and we're trying to figure out what is going on. And it's because, are we running? Are we hiding like Adam and Eve? Do we push blame on God or other things instead of pursuing his benevolence? Are we feeling ashamed and naked instead of being clothed in his righteousness? It's the same responses that Adam and Eve had at the beginning of time when they had perfect fellowship. And so many times when you are on your best spiritually, and then all something comes up in your life and you're wondering, why am I running? Why am I shifting the blame? Why do I feel so naked and guilty and shameful? We need to understand that God is pursuing us. He's the seed. He never stops germinating within us. He redoubts us. He's constantly chasing after us. Romans 8:32 says this, he, God, did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He gave us all things through his son, though, didn't he? And I want to end this morning with my second point, and it comes from Jesus himself, again from Scripture. John 15:16 says this, Jesus said, you did not choose me. You didn't love me first. I loved you first. And now he's saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. So what is our response knowing that Jesus is pursuing you and I every day? Let's get real for a second. This is a personal question for you. I hope that you'll really, truly listen to this part. What is your response, knowing that Jesus is pursuing you? Number one, you can either ignore him and keep living your life without him, which will ultimately be not what he planned from the very beginning. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Watch this, love. Will you watch this, love? Watch this pursuit. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, for every single person to pursue him back. He's not slow in keeping his promise. He doesn't want you to be separated. He didn't want you from the beginning, and he doesn't want you now at the end. He doesn't want any single person to fill up these pews day after day after day and miss the story, the Christmas story, and not follow in obedience and relationship with Him. You have to come right now to the understanding that God is pursuing you and loves you. And He loved you first. He's chasing after you first. To allow you to see no other person will ever do this as good as Him. Or we can find His joy in receiving the greatest gift you have ever received or will ever receive and follow His plan for your life. On the outskirts of Bethlehem marks the birthplace of Jesus. It's a small cathedral that sits as a reminder for all who visit where the Messiah was born. This cathedral right here. Mary and Joseph had to travel literally 70 miles. It was so estimated 4 to 5 days to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem to deliver the greatest gift the world has ever known. And it wasn't just a small little trek. It wasn't just a nice little pathway that they could follow for 4 to 5 days. That by itself, being pregnant, I've never been pregnant, but I can only imagine. Being pregnant, 9 months, about to deliver, being already tired. Most women are already on bed rest, even back at that time. They're tired. Their feet are hurting. Guys can't relate to this. Joseph was probably, oh my goodness, we got to get there. Had her on a donkey, doing the best that he could. But 70 miles to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to not go just down this easy path, but to literally track an altitude of 2,500 feet up in the air. We forget the Christmas story because we just move past it. We don't understand that this altitude, this 70-mile walk, this pregnant woman following in obedience, going through high altitudes to be able to get from one destination to the next. She wasn't just at home resting. She didn't tell the angel, no, I'm not going to do it. I think I need to stay here because I'm hurting. Mary had great courage. She had great obedience to follow the design of God's plan. Mary and Joseph set an example for all of us of what great submission looks like. She had courage, obedience, submission. Which of these three are we lacking in our everyday life to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you afraid of something? Are you afraid of what God is asking you to do? Do you need the courage right now to take that step and maybe trek the 70 miles and you look at the destination and you realize it's 2,500 feet up in the air. There's no way I can do this under my condition. What is your condition? What's keeping you from having the courage to follow the Lord's plan for your life? It takes obedience. She could have said no. Many people in the Bible did. Many people in the Bible gave excuses. But God had a plan, an ultimate plan. And what if Mary and Joseph did not follow through on the plan? From Genesis 3:15 to this plan, you had to submit. This cathedral where Jesus was born, behind a high altar in the church is a cave, a little cavern where the entrance is like very, very small. You can show the picture. For you to get in, to pursue the place of Jesus' birth, if you truly want to see where Jesus was born, there is one stipulation. You must stoop or kneel into its presence. You cannot just walk through. You must stoop or kneel into its presence. And some of us may feel that we've been traveling alone without Christ. Some of us feel like our bondage and our baggage that we've been carrying in our life is too much. Would you give that to Christ who can actually hold on to that? Maybe we're running away and we're feeling ashamed or we're naked. Or maybe we're shifting the blame on everybody else except that we got to take ownership for what we have done in our own life. Submission. And for the first time, God is asking you to be courageous like Mary and Joseph, to find your Bethlehem. To find your Bethlehem. At this cathedral, there's a star embedded in the floor that symbolizes that the great I Am pointed Mary and Joseph to the correct place to truly deliver the greatest gift the world has ever known. Every time you look outside and see the stars, every time you see a Christmas tree with a star, from here on out, I pray that you will remember that God embedded Jesus in you. It's a perfect plan for you and the Lord to enjoy each day Christmas. He loved you first, He chose you first, and He radafas. He chases you each and every day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we come to the end of this message, I pray that it will be the beginning of many new lives. I pray that people that maybe need to rededicate their lives, people that may need to commit their lives for the first time, maybe for people to be able to know that that star has been embedded in each one of us to point them to the place of where Christ is. It's Christmas. It's your Christmas story. It's your Christmas gift to each and every one of us. So that way we never have to have another day wondering where we're going to be for all of eternity. I pray that, God, that if there's anyone here that does not know that, that does not understand that, I pray that, God, that they would make that known to you, to me, to any of the staff, to anybody. I pray that, God, that you would just help us understand that, Lord, that no matter how we're feeling during this time of Christmas, man, we may be feeling wonderful. We may be feeling complete joy. Man, that's awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you for that promise of John 10:10 that you come to give life and to give it to the full and abundantly. That's what it's all about, is to have that joy that only you can give, for you are the true joy of Christmas. This is your time, Lord. I pray that, God, each person here will not leave without receiving the greatest gift that you have ever given. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.